Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Tess Brigham, who is a licensed psychotherapist and board certified coach who specializes in helping 20-somethings and millennials navigate this exciting but overwhelming time in their lives. Tess wants all young adults to be able to enter into their 30s, 40s and 50s with confidence and clarity. And I think we've got a lot of stuff in common and a lot of stuff to talk about. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we were just chatting a little bit before we started and we were talking about kind of how you found the show and your work and, you know, talk about universal themes of adulting and all the rest of it. And I'd love to know like what adulting or being an adult means for you.
For me, being an adult is the ability to say, to own your stuff. I can swear, so own your shit. It's the ability to own your shit and be okay with it. And I know that sounds very simple, but there's a lot to that. It's being able to say, this is who I am as a person. I make mistakes, I'm human, I'm not perfect, I'm flawed, and still be able to sit there and go, and I like myself, and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to please you, I don't need to change myself to make you like me.
Mm, so important.
Yeah. And I don't think that there is one moment in our lives where that happens and whoa, you know, the heavens open up and you get the adulting badge. But I do think there are these small moments in time where you start to recognize, oh, I'm getting a little bit stronger. Oh, I'm getting a little bit stronger. I'm getting a little bit stronger. And one day you'll wake up and go, oh, okay. You know, I can handle this. I'm okay. Like this person doesn't like me. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so important. What we were talking about before we came on was that you work with millennials and 20 somethings. And we're talking about adulting and like some, what it means to be an adult or to be entering into adulthood or be living, you know, in your 20s or that kind of, as you put it, this kind of exciting and overwhelming time in our lives. And it's interesting to me because the majority of my clients are older than that, right? So the majority of my clients are in their 30s and 40s. And they are people for whom they are starting to think for themselves, shit, it's time to adult the fuck up, right? And when I was talking to some of my more millennial friends or friends in their 20s, when I was talking about this show and a program that I've been working on around it, they were like, no, if someone tells me to adult, it's really patronizing. Like, I'm like, I'm an adult. Because in our 20s, we absolutely are like, yeah, I'm doing this. What are you talking about? I've got it handled. And so my experience is that actually in our 30s and 40s, that's when we get that bit where we go, now maybe there's some things I got to look at. Like maybe there's some things I get to look at here and actually unpack. Like maybe there's some stuff I'm willing to explore and take ownership of. And I also think that it's got nothing to do with age. Everything, every one of us deals with it and that process at a different time in their life, depending on experience and circumstances.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's interesting because I think some of it is, I can imagine for your clients who are in their 30s and 40s that you have a certain set of life experiences. And I do think that despite the work that I do, I think is very, very important. But I also think that there's nothing more precious and important than time. Time and experiences. And so it's interesting to hear that you have these clients who are feeling like, okay, this is it. I gotta grow up. I gotta adult. But I also do understand when I was 25, 26, 27, I didn't want anyone to tell me, you know, well, this is how you adult. This is how you're. And that's not what that's not what I do. And I don't think anyone should tell anyone how to be. What I think is so important is this step that I see a lot of people skipping is the step of really understanding who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what makes you happy, what doesn't make you happy, what is meaningful to you. And a lot of my clients sort of graze on by these things, sort of picking professions that they know their parents would love, picking people in their life that look good on Instagram, picking things that make other people happy and never themselves. Yeah. And maybe I'm wondering if that's maybe some of your 30 something, 40 something clients who wake up and go, I've been living someone else's life.
Yeah, I've been living. Absolutely. Right. Like it's, and I, you know, that's why I think it's so cool that you're getting to people in their 20s and that you're doing this work. And I've recently started writing kids' books because I really want to help kids really get this, like get the concept of sovereignty, get the concept of their words and their language being powerful, kind of get to parents and help them to make these conscious decisions about not pressuring someone, but knowing, you know, into one thing or another, but asking them, like, what do you like? What do you want? And kind of coaching our kids rather than telling them how to live and like what's safe and what's not safe and, you know, all of those kind of things, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm a parent myself, and I know that there's that instinct to want to save your kid from pain, save them from disappointment and failure. And you also know I have to let you fall down. I have to let you do this. And so what I always tell my clients, it's so interesting. They'll have these careers where they're like, oh, I don't know. My dad and my mom and my friends think this and that. And I said, well, who's going to the job every day? You are. Like, so you're living your life. You're the only one that has to live it. Nobody else but you. And that's the part that I think is really, really important, that it goes back to what I said earlier about what is adulting. It's this moment in time where you realize, like, this is my life. I'm the only one that has to live it. If people think my profession or what I wear or what I say or who I am or who I hang out with is not that great or not up to snuff, fine. But I'm happy. I feel like I belong. I belong to me. And that's
such a huge lesson.
So critical.
Such a huge lesson. And like, for me, I take, in a way, like one step further, and it's just the language, but it's like, rather than it's my life and I have to, like, I'm the only one who has to live it. It's like, it's my life and I get one opportunity to live it the way that I want and to do, you know, you don't get do-overs, right? Like, you get chances. There's plenty of chances in life, and I don't want to say there aren't, but there also might not be, right? And because you're never you at that age or at that time or at that space with that body in these circumstances ever again. You don't get to do it. Not again, not like that. So every time we're like, oh, I'm too scared to say yes to this, or I'm too scared to say no to this, or whatever it is, you don't get that opportunity back. And so I love that we're teaching tools, or that you're sharing in your work attitudes and ways to really take ownership earlier.
Yeah. I love that this is your life, but this is how did you phrase that again? This is the one chance you get to live it.
You get to live it rather than you have to live it. Like, for me, that's
all right. I like
such that subtlety, right? But I hear so many people being like, I have to this, I have to that, I have to. And it's like, well, don't. You've actually always got a choice. Like, you can opt out. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's interesting, because that is another issue that comes up a lot, is this idea of choices. Mm-hmm. And I think especially when you're a young adult, part of the process is really learning, like, you can say no, you can say yes. You don't have to go home for the holidays. You don't have to do what people are telling you you need to do. And I always say that being an adult, there's lots of things about being an adult that are hard and challenging. But the nice thing is that you get to be an adult however you want to be. Mm-hmm. And you get to make choices and decisions that make you happy. And while there's all these pieces about, you know, paying your own rent and jobs and life and insurance that are tough to deal with, that you get to create this plane, this reality that you live on. And what's so interesting for my clients is they feel so free. They're like, oh, I can say no, I'm not going to come home for the holidays, or, oh, I can. And it's this very empowering moment of, oh, okay, that's right. I am an adult. And I think that adulting and being an adult has such a strange connotation in our culture. And that is one moment where people are like, oh, wait a minute, this is good stuff here. Like, oh, like, and I get to choose.
Do you see, I've got a client at the moment that I'm thinking of, and I wonder whether you see this as well. I'm working with a young woman whose mom really cares about her and really wants to help her. And this young woman is feeling a pressure to do what her mom says, because her mom's looking out for her, right? And her mom's got more experience than her, and, you know, all of these different things. But inside, she really wants to do it her way. And, you know, they've got this relationship where she doesn't want to hurt her. She doesn't want to say, you know, present away not being grateful for everything that she's been given, and the money and the help and the support and the roof and, you know, the emotional support, all of those things, but wants to go a different way. And I wonder whether that comes up for you as a common thing of, like, this disagreement potentially, mm-hmm. both wanting to take care of it, you know, all coming from love, but wanting different things.
Yeah, I see it all the time. I often see parents that really, it's not that they don't love their kids and they don't care about their kids. I have a lot of parents that reach out to me who say, I have a daughter who's 26 and she's living in the city and she's struggling, and can you talk to her? And I want her to get help. And so the parents really, they want what's best. It is an interesting dynamic where it sounds like this is a mother who just fears seeing their child fall down. And I do think that the other part is, I can speak to this as a parent, is this idea of, well, this is your child and it's an extension of you. Like, oh, they have their own likes and dislikes. They see the world. And a lot of times I'll look at something and I'll look at it and think that, oh, my son should think this, this, and this, or he should feel this way. And I'll have to stop myself and say, well, that's how I think about it. It's not necessarily how he thinks about it. And it's really that moment in time of understanding that our kids need, like, that you really do just have to recognize that they have their own viewpoint and perceptions of life.
And making mistakes is such a huge part of adulting, right? Like, you don't get to know what you like. You don't get to know whether you can stand on your own two feet without trying, and without there being a possibility that you don't do it right the first time, or that it hurts in some way, or that you do fall down and get back up.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's sometimes I'll give talks about millennials. I'll give talks to people of older generations, and I'll talk about, you know, how to work with millennials at work, how to encourage them, that kind of thing. And I'll talk a lot about this particular generation, though, the generation's getting older. And the way our society was and what we thought about education at the time of the 80s and how parents raised their kids. And the majority of, I don't want to speak for everyone, but the majority of millennial parents, you know, they want their kids to succeed. They love their kids. They were children of divorce themselves. They had less kids. They wanted, you know, they wanted to be more active in their kids' life. And I think that these parents really spent a lot of time and energy not trying to protect their kids from all the pain, trying to protect them from that. And what's happened is they've entered into the world and they've realized, like, oh, I can't protect him from a bad boss. I can't protect him from a landlord. I can't do this and that. And what I see is a lot of my clients, there is such a tremendous fear of failure, such a fear of failure, where they'll say to me, well, I want to try to do this thing, but there's a possibility it won't work out, so I'm not going to do it. And I think that this is the piece where we're not promoting the fact that failure is a good thing. Technically, there is no such thing as failure. Failure is a judgment. failure is what we think it is, right? You and I both go to a restaurant. You think it's fabulous. I think it's a failure. So who's right and who's wrong? So what I really try to teach my clients is that there's no such thing as failure, that failure holds so much great information. You need failure. You cannot have anything without failure. And I think that's that whole piece of what I was saying earlier about trying things out, trying that your 20s are really about, you know, figuring out what you like and what you don't like. And when you find something you don't like, it will feel a bit like a failure, but it's good. It's good information. But I think this is the missing, what I see a lot of is this is the missing piece of people continuing to make safe choices or choices that they know that they can't fail at for fear of failure.
Yeah. And you know what? That's such a powerful lesson to learn at any age, because particularly in now, everything is continuing to change, right? Like, so when we were kids, I couldn't imagine being a blogger or a podcaster because they didn't exist, right? Like, it hadn't happened. No one was doing it. I had no role models to look at. I couldn't even have dreamt up the idea that I might have the kind of career that I have now. And it's continually changing and growing and developing, and more things are being added in, and stuff shifts and changes, which means that as a creative adult, the things that I want and the things that I want to experience and how I want to experience that is also going to change and evolve, which means that we're never done, right? You don't just hit a place of like, oh, I'm done now. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. And this is me for the rest of my life. I've seen those women, right? They have Rachel haircuts from Friends, and they've been listening to 90s music for the rest of their lives, right? Like, we evolve, we carry on, which means that if you nail this skill in your 20s of failing forward and like learning what you like and don't like and enjoying that process, it's going to serve you well, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that it is, I think that I don't know if you've heard about this book called Grit by Angela Duckworth, this idea of grittiness, right? And I love, this is such a great book, and it's, her research is so important, because I think that we see falling down and making mistakes and all of that as being this idea of they're a loser and they're not worthy or they're a failure. And I love the fact that she brought in this word grittiness into our culture, because that's really what it is. It's a sense of getting gritty, of being gritty, getting in there, working hard, getting, you know, being one of the people in the arena and putting yourself out there.
Absolutely. I love that you just said that. I'm just in the process, and actually by the time this comes out, I will be telling people about a new mastermind that I'm doing next year, which is called the More Mastermind. And the kind of tagline is with grit and grace, because actually if we want more, we have to dive into being gritty, but you get to do it in a way that's with grace, right? That isn't just about crying on the floor covered in snot, but is potentially, you know, doing that surrounded by people who love you, or, you know, whatever else makes that process more graceful and more easeful.
Yeah. I love that, with grit and grace. That's great. That's amazing. What was I going to say? I said earlier about the arena. Do you follow Brené Brown at all?
Yes, I do.
Like her?
Yeah.
She is my absolute favorite. And if you're a client of mine, I've given you, like, you know, I've assigned all of her books, because she's so amazing. And I love that image that she uses for Daring Greatly, Teddy Roosevelt. It's so funny, but my mind went right to arena. And I always think of this idea of, you know, you are either in the arena, getting sweaty, working hard, looking foolish, you know, getting gritty, or you're in the stands judging. And I love it when she says, you know, if you're not in the arena with me, then your opinion doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And it's just so true. And I think this culture that we have today, where it's so easy to be anonymous, it's so easy to just judge, it's so easy to just write off a comment and do that. And I often say that the world that we live in today, to go out and do something new and different and be gritty, it's a lot scarier than it was, I remember, being when I was younger. Because if I fell down and looked, you know, there was no Facebook, there was no nothing, like there was nobody to gossip about me. And so in today's world, we are really divided by people that are in the arena and then these large groups of people that are out there judging us and judging everything we do.
I totally get that. But anyone who's in the arena is too busy to judge you, right? So like anyone who's actually playing is either too busy or too involved in their own stuff to do anything other than look and smile at you with acknowledgement of like, you're doing this too, like you're getting in here. You're like, so it is a cultural shift. And I think it's really difficult to see that when you're in the stands, right? If we take this analogy, if you're standing in the stands, what you can't see, because it may look like the people in the arena are growling at each other, and they're not. They're growling and grunting at their lives and acknowledging each other, right? Like, I think it is sometimes hard to see that from the outside. My experience was very much like that. Was like, I'm not going to have any friends. I'm going to be too different. No one else is going to get me. I should just stay here where it's safe. But actually, and where I know the landscape. And actually my experience has been, you know, actually when I've got in and when I've opened up and when I've allowed other people to share and be with me, it's not a lonely place at all. There's lots of company.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. And I understand that is so, it's an incredibly scary thing to do, to get up from, if we keep using the analogy, get up from the stands and walk down and get into the arena. Like, I'm not dismissing for anybody who's considering it or thinking about doing something like that. It is incredibly, incredibly scary. And I think that what people have to know and understand is that the feeling of being nervous and anxious or being uncomfortable is never going to go away. That anytime you do something scary, whether you're 20 or 90, it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. And we live in this society right now where we really do spend so much time and energy making everything comfortable for ourselves. And we can, because of technology, and we keep making things better, faster, smarter. And I understand that has to happen. But at the same time, we're making it so that people are very fearful of discomfort. And that discomfort is, I always tell people, that discomfort means you're onto something. That discomfort means that you're getting close to something that you really, really want or need or desire. And so part of it is that I think that it is really, really hard to leave your very comfortable seat in the stands, because it's so comfortable. It feels so good.
And there's all these people just playing out for you, right? Like, it's very entertaining. And there's always something to scroll past and keep you hooked on, right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I always, you know, you can't have these amazing, wonderful achievements and things that really mean something to you if you don't have that level of discomfort. If you don't have that level of scariness. And so I just encourage people just not to run from the scaries, because we all have them. We all have them. And that,
well, and it's the difference between watch. Away. Yeah. It never goes away. And it's the difference between, you know, watching a sport or playing a sport, or, you're only going to experience so much of it from the stands, right?
Yeah.
You've got no idea how incredible and amazing it's going to feel until you're actually in there, because you're just sitting on the sidelines and everything's kind of sanitized and everything, like, you can't feel any of it. And so along with the discomfort and the intensity of that feeling comes incredible other feelings with great intensity, like joy and accomplishment and, you know, pride and fulfillment and, you know, all of those kind of things as well.
Yeah. I remember when I was 22, someone once said to me, you can't have great joy and amazement and wonder without tremendous sadness and despair. And it stuck with me all these years later, because what's so important is this idea of just going cruising through the middle. I think that's what we think we want. Like, oh, I want my life to be so simple. I want everything to be right. I want everything to be tied down and in this row. And what's so important is that if you didn't know what great sadness was, you don't know what happiness is. You don't know what joy feels like. Like, we need these two different things in order to understand the other. So that's the piece of it too, is that if you want to live a life full of wonder and excitement and love and joy and all these amazing, wonderful things, you have to recognize that there's going to be the inverse. There's going to be the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And that's what makes the joy so amazing.
Yeah. That's life. That's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I love that you come and talk to me. If people want to come and find out more about you and about your work and all of those things, where's the best place for them to come?
Oh, they can go to my website, TessBrigham Coaching.com, or they can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook group called Master Your Millennial Mindset. And so it's closed, but if you apply, I'll let you in. And if you're a millennial and want to learn, and I share all about sort of what millennials and young adults are struggling with. And it's a place to talk to other young people, and it's a safe space.
Fantastic. Well, we'll make sure that we stick all of those links in the show notes so people can easily.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been really fun. Have you got a little I'm an adult but for us?
I'm an adult, but I am constantly evolving, and what the best way of saying this? I'm an adult, but I'm constantly evolving and coming into myself as an adult, as strange as that sounds. Like, I keep surprising myself every turn and realize that I'm always amazed that I have more adulting to do, I guess is the best way. There's times that I wake up and I think, oh, I've worked this out already. I know myself well enough, and something will come around the corner and knock me down and go, oh yeah, that old childhood stuff is rearing its ugly head. So
thank you. Anyways, yeah, for sharing that. I feel really similar to that. Yeah. I think mine today is I'm an adult, but I keep developing new layers of courage. And I recently had an experience where I was told often, and I've been told for most of my life, you're really courageous, or you're a really brave person. And I've always just gone, no, I'm not, I'm not really. And then recently, something that maybe wasn't brave or courageous for anybody else, like unlike all of the other things I've ever done before, for me really hit that button of like, oh wow, this is uncomfortable. This is scary. This feels brave. I'm gonna do it anyway. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm an adult, but I continually find new ways to step up and be courageous and be brave.
Yeah. I love that.
Thank you so much for coming and talking to me.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. This was great.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.